You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. What's up, everybody? Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks from Move the Sticks. Bucky, for those that haven't listened to our show, tell them what it's about.
Two former NFL scouts, about 20 years of experience looking at the game from a different perspective, really digging into the personnel evaluations and also some of the team matchups.
Also going to be focusing on the draft as it gets closer. And you can check out our show on NFL.com/podcast. You can find it on iTunes as well as YouTube on the NFL channel. Just pump in Move the Sticks.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Still thinks about the gold standard sometimes.
Each time the wind blows.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Happy Monday. Monday's here.
A lot of excitement.
Mm-hmm. How was your weekend, everybody?
Fine. Can't complain.
Yeah?
I mean, I could, but
the look on your face did not.
It was adequate.
Wasn't too excited.
I got to spend some time at Wes's abode over the weekend. Threw some corn, had a couple of brew dogs. That's young people slang for alcohol, beer.
Some pops.
And Wes's brother was in town.
Yeah, you got to face the Wessling duo in cornhole.
We did. We were defeated, but... You know, your brother, which brother is it again, the name? Nick?
Nick.
Nick is a good dude, but it was also fun to see up close how the Wessling brotherly dynamic works. It's just like a lot of like ribbing, a lot of like competition all over the place, a lot of body shaming, a lot of like nice shirt to get, you know, did it get caught in the dryer? Look at Mr. Muscles, look at my muscles. You're not attractive. No, you're not attractive. It is like it's very clear.
Did you call it body shaming when it's
brothers.
Two brothers?
I might have been about 10 drinks into my day by that point too.
It was clearly coming from a place of love, but it was kind of a fun dynamic. I have one brother, and we don't really interact on that level. But you coming from the house full of brothers, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I would say he and I, he would be the one I would most likely to rib over all the other ones.
It seems like you guys have a lot in common, which leads to the competition.
He likes to mix it up. But we saw it.
He's a mixer.
Mark and I saw you and your brothers all together in Indianapolis once, and it was just like a gang of hyenas attacking each other.
Well, there were like one or two brothers like would pull me aside, and they say, just walk up to Wes and brother X and just say, LeBron versus Jordan, give me a break. And then just step back for 2 hours and watch them start to almost, I mean, it almost turned physical.
Right.
And when you have that many brothers growing up, I'm sure, you know, everything had to be.
There's usually a, all right, let's settle this. Let's go out in the middle of the street and run a 40-yard dash against each other or something like that. That's usually how it breaks down.
At one point, Nick took out his phone and cycled into a text conversation from months earlier. In order to restart an argument that was had at a prior time that you had spent time together, just to kickstart it, it was a joy to watch. Nick Wessling. I like to call him Gary.
Well, that's his Gary phenomenon. It's unexplainable on a podcast.
Can our Wessling put down the most beer, though, of the group?
I haven't seen – Nick looks like a guy who can carry himself in that manner.
Nah, he's not a big drinker.
But I've never – yeah, Wes is one of the all-time champs in that department in my lifetime, so I would say Wes will not be defeated.
Good weekend.
It was.
Got
it
my
was
braces fun. Off, too.
Oh, my God. And do you, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Looks fantastic.
You're a handsome guy already.
Let's see.
Take those off. I'm giving you a point and a half up.
Oh, yeah?
Point and a half.
Up to 5.2.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to reveal the – I'll reveal your grade at the end of the episode.
No, thank you.
Today's episode of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored by nobody, although it would be good if, Dick's Sporting Goods gave us a ring. If we hear from you, that would be great, Dix. We have a nice show ahead. I'm happy about today's show. Some shows, they come to you easily when we're kind of putting it together before. Some you got to work for. I felt like we had to work for this one a little bit, but I think it's going to pay off. Hard work pays off, Greg.
It's all about the performance once the bright lights come on. It almost, the preparation, that's all nice, but now we're just going to crush it.
I'm nervous. So, yeah, with the draft now coming up next week, we thought it'd be fun to do kind of like a redraft. This is a completely original idea, a redraft of not last year's class, but 2014's class, and we'll kind of go around the room and make selections, maybe the first, I don't know, 12, 15, something like that, and see if we can improve teams' fates through that process. It's a segment we like to call Do-Over Redrafting Top of 2014 Class.
But that's the name.
It's a working title. also, we're going to do some news. And then we're going to have a special friend on the phone to close things out, but I'll keep that a little hazy. Let's head behind the glass. Brandon has some matters to attend to at home, so he is not with us today. In his place is a man who hasn't been on the show in a while, B-Mac. We call him Brandon Marcus. What's up, buddy?
What's up? It's been a long time. I missed you guys.
Missed you too, buddy. And you would think, you know, Brandon has done a great job since taking over for La Cid.
Brandon McGinnis, then.
McGinnis. Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's not confuse the two Brandons.
Sorry, too many Brandons. So many whites. But, like, you would think that with McGinnis out, that maybe TD would step in, and we're happy to have you, Mr. Marcus, but TD was stepping, but instead he was like, if it is, I can't do it.
Showed virtually zero interest in being a part of our show on any level.
So it was like the old days.
Yeah, it's like we're doing Sundays all over again.
Yes. Let's do some news, Brandon.
Why don't we, huh?
Yeah.
Got hit in the nuts?
Yes, sir.
Oh! We may have gotten hit just below the belt.
Yeah. All right, let's do some news, guys. And now that the Rams have the first overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft, all the speculation is about who will it be? Who will be the first pick? The quarterback, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, the plane dealer based out of Cleveland, of course, reports tying Goff to the Rams. Our own Mike Silver came out and has been kind of throwing out there what he's hearing, which is also he's a Cal graduate, Mike Silver is, and that's, of course, where Goff went to school. He is connecting Goff to the Rams as well. And then you have Peter King over at Monday Morning Quarterback. He wrote a column this week about the Cleveland Browns, who are picking number two, of course. And King reported that the Browns could give serious consideration to passing on a QB with a number two pick. This is from King. This is because of a couple things. They're high on RG3, and they're not sure if they want to pick an heir to the quarterback job before giving Griffin a legit chance to win said job. Plus, Hugh Jackson.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Plus, Hugh Jackson is confident he can pick a good quarterback atop the second round as well, whether it be Connor Cook or another one from the bargain bin of this year's current crop. Mark, you hate the sound of this, don't you?
Well, I mean, I do. Number one, what of it is true? Who knows? But
certainly not a report.
It's not a report. Michael Silver, though, is close with Jeff Fisher of the
Rams.
Certainly close with Cleveland. So
it's a lot of different things combining. There's been kind of a Goff to the Browns, or the Browns are going to pass on to that Goff is the favored pick of the Rams and of the Browns. Now, we don't know if any of that's true, but it's kind of like a consensus building.
Yeah, I don't get it because listen, like there's these four or five, six teams in the league that don't have a quarterback situation settled, and their season is over before it began. And the Rams finally got smart and said, do we want to be one of those teams or do what it takes to get up and get our guy? And to me, though, I have not sat through and watched every snap of Goff and Wentz, so that's not where I'm coming from. But the idea that Cleveland, that's had a hole at this position since Bernie Kosar was on the field, is going to pass up on a guy like Carson Wentz to trade down and pick up some defensive tackle at spot 22, this is the same thing we've seen over and over. Julio Jones, they had this. And you know what? They already have 10 picks in the draft. How about go nail six of them and one of them be a quarterback at number two and everything changes? I don't get it. I don't even know what their strategy is at this point. So it's not really an open critique, but it's just like, come on.
You want them to be playing it, you know, close to the vest. The only fear for me is that the what King wrote or the speculation that they just love the idea of Griffin turning his career around, that they're willing to suspend the quarterback search because this guy that hasn't been good in 4 years is going to save his career with Hugh. That would be the only thing that would be bad news for me, but who knows if that's actually the truth.
I can't. That's a lie. I can't imagine, no matter how much they love RG3, that it would make a serious impact on them taking a quarterback number two overall. Now, if they wanted to pass on a quarterback there because they really had their heart set on Jared Goff and he goes number one and they're not in love with Wentz, I'll buy that, and that they're trotting out some RG3 reason behind the scenes or after the fact. But there's no way that they're making a decision based on RG3, who's essentially on a one-year contract for a backup type of money.
Exactly. If he's so great, why did they let him – he had a chance to go to the Jets. Like, the Browns didn't jump in and sign
RG3. Yeah, but
RG3.
You're forgetting about something.
That was before he moved.
That was before the earth shook?
The earth moved beneath Hugh Jackson's feet.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say, Greg, consider the source. This team messes things up this time of year, every year. So maybe they are thinking that way.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I give the new – I don't put all the blame of all of the old generations of Browns' mistakes onto this generation. Let's let them make their own mistakes. If they're going to. I meant that as an if. But the part of it that's surprising to me is that so many people are now convinced Goff is number one. I don't necessarily buy that either. I mean,
well, the Rams are looking at both still. They're having them both in.
Right. The Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers draft at this point in the draft, 10 days before the draft, people still thought there was a decent chance Aaron Rodgers was going number one. He didn't go in the top 20. So I'm willing to be surprised about everything here, that either Wentz can go number one or that Wentz, Goff go 1-2. I do think, though, obviously, if Goff goes number one and the Browns don't take a quarterback, we know that they got jobbed by that trade.
I like the tail wagging the dog here, that the Rams are just like sending all these different reports out of different insiders.
Right.
Some saying Goff, some saying Wentz.
But even to what end?
Jeff Fisher, once again, ahead of the game on every level.
But to what end? What is the point of the Rams not being transparent?
Well, you said on the last show, I think it's just creating drama versus no drama heading up to the draft.
They forced the Browns to trade up.
Former Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer spent last season with the Houston Texans, had his moments last year, but then it all fell apart in a miserable playoff loss at home to the Chiefs. Which, you know, helped really pave the way for both his departure and Brock Osweiler ending up in Houston. Hoyer was released on Monday. Rap Sheet reported via source informed of the situation. This was an amicable divorce. It seemed like something that was coming for some time. Texans tried to find a trade partner, couldn't find one. Rappaport told Dan Helley last month on TA that Hoyer would potentially be on the Broncos' list of potential targets. Remember, they still have just Mark Sanchez as a real starter there. And also, of course, the Jets now, who still are in that holding pattern with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Brian Hoyer on the market. If you are a team, forget about Super Bowl contender, if you're a team that thinks you can win 9 to 10 games and hence you're probably a chance to make the playoffs, do you want Brian Hoyer on your team or do you want to take a chance on something else? Greg.
I want Brian Hoyer on my team, but I want him as my backup to Ben Roethlisberger or something like that. He's been in Pittsburgh before, and I think that's a logical thing. I don't want him competing to start. But if I was the Jets, for instance, and Ryan, if I was the Broncos, does he improve them a little bit? Maybe, but I wouldn't bother. I don't think it's worth it.
I don't think he improves them at all.
I'm with you. I think Hoyer seems to still very much believe that that his days as a starter are not over. If he's pushing for this kind of transaction, and good for him, why should a quarterback think differently? But what he really is and what he's emerging to be is someone that has probably still a long career in the league as one of the better backups. And if you're one of the teams that has to plug him in as a starter, good luck to you. What happened last year is not statistically what he's going to do season after season.
Here's some quarterbacks Brian Hoyer had a higher QBR than last year. Wasn't even that high. It was 19th. I think it adjusts pretty well compared to quarterback rating. But QBR, ESPN's QBR, he's better than Philip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Andrew Luck, Blake Bortles.
QBR is terrible.
Yeah, but you would take him over none of those players.
No, but isn't that – it's crazy that a guy with a higher regular
– But doesn't that explain how flawed that is as a metric?
It's a one-year QBR.
Yeah.
What? How many starts did he have? 11, 10?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think one person's stat being a little wacky. I mean,
you know,
the whole stat's bad. It's just a tool.
You know what? Stats should weigh a lot more in QBR. How many times you were yanked for the backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Hoyer was yanked three quarters into the season, then yanked again for Ryan Mount later in the year, and then blew the playoff game. That's all you need to know.
I can't wait till he's the Jets week one starter.
I bet you can't. Bet you can't. Moving on, the Trent Richardson saga. As everyone knows, if you listen to the show, I have retired from writing about Trent Richardson because it's a completely thoughtless enterprise. There's no sense doing it because he is not an NFL player anymore, but he does have a contract with the Ravens. Finally, the Ravens announced Monday they have officially signed the draft bust to a contract. He had an unofficial agreement in place with the Ravens hinging on a Richardson shedding weight, if you remember that fun little tale of prior to a workout with the Ravens, he had a massive dinner followed by a humongous breakfast that like shot his weight up like 8 pounds or something absurd. And then he was sluggish in his workout. So the Ravens were like, okay, come back to us, buddy, in a couple weeks. He came back, apparently had a sensible dinner and breakfast, and now is on the team. And, you know, guy, first of all, when you're banging me on Twitter on a Sunday when I'm spending with my wife and child, and you're throwing like hammer drops at me about, oh, you're in trouble now, Dan, with your bet with Mark, your prop with Mark. Ooh, Trent Richardson, now you're in big trouble. No. And a couple of people asked me on my P scale. Negative 83 P scale on Trent Richardson getting a carry in a game that counts this season, hence gifting two sandwiches back to Mark. I ain't worried, Sizzler.
Well, and by the way, you've already put this stance out there that you're not worried, and people need to remember that. Secondly, let's say the worst case scenario occurs to you in this lifetime and he plays one more snap.
Yeah.
And so what is it? This P scale where you have to go out and buy two sandwiches?
Yeah.
That's not exactly like high scale human tragedy.
I feel like you almost lose too because you don't want two sandwiches. At most,
I don't even want them.
You want half a sandwich.
I would just have you give one to Greg and one to Wes that comes off my, you know, owed list. And I owe sandwiches probably this week. It's probably this week that I need to dole out around.
Can we do that a little bit? I mean, if we're going to continue, we've got to do our next sandwich props. It's time to pay up.
Well, I just offered to.
No, that's good. It was good that you brought it up.
Someone had to.
I'm just saying. I bought some sandwiches.
Wes actually bought me a sandwich
ass.
Last week, so.
I did.
Well, that's nice.
I just want the
kissing.
I want whatever dinner is. So, like, Popeyes or whoever it was should advertise the 8-pound dinner as their as their next innovation. I mean, I want a dinner that's so delicious I could possibly gain 8 pounds off of one.
Well,
dinner.
It was a back-to-back.
It was two. I think it was McDonald's the next morning, too.
Are we getting tired of Alabama running backs with the weight issues? Come on, people.
Moving on, Kevin White, you may recall, was the number 7 overall pick of the Chicago Bears last season. Had a shin injury during the workouts leading up to the season that ended his season. He never played a snap as a rookie, but guess what? Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune says that White was recently racing his best friend, Devin Blake, who's a former Lackawanna, Pennsylvania, I'm getting in the weeds here, college receiver. White had already been cleared to run, but the biggest hurdle was trusting his surgically repaired leg.
Come back to his hand.
You don't have to read the article out loud.
Wow.
Just the headline was
You know what? I was hoping there would be a nut graph at the top, but I ended up falling into an anecdote. He ran fast. And everyone's excited about Kevin White because he's healthy. And, Wes, I'll start with you on this. Are the Bears a little frisky? Because we don't talk about the Bears a ton on this podcast, which is not on purpose, but they just, you know, in the last couple of years,
they're under the radar
doing this podcast. They have not been a team that is really buzzy. But with Kevin White and some things happening with this roster now, you're getting a little excited about the monsters of the Midway.
If only they'd had a different quarterback, they might be my favorite for team of ATL this year.
Whoa.
What?
Risky
really?
Defense. Last year they played better than the sum of their parts. Better than their talent would indicate, I thought.
But the talent's still bad.
Well, now you're adding a top 10 pick at wide receiver to go with Alshon Jeffery, in addition to whatever first-round pick you have this year. And their defense, I feel like, is majorly improved with Danny Trevathan and Darrell Freeman. They picked up Akeem Hicks. Some big pickups for them.
Secondary looks pretty bad. You're right that they played much better. I think they did a good coaching job to go 6-10. So that makes me think they're going to have to do a good coaching job again to do it again. Because
you're giving Johnny Fox some credit.
Yeah, I think you give John Fox a roster of young players that he's going to get them to 9 wins maybe quickly. Like, he can do that.
You know what's funny? Not to get too off track, but I did stumble upon I was writing a post about John Fox somehow being referenced, and I clicked into a post we wrote when he stepped away from Denver, and the famous quote from Elway was, "We disagreed on how to get to the next level." Yeah. And what happens? He leaves, and the Broncos get to the next level and win the Super Bowl, but that speaks to your point.
And Elway stuck it to him, too,
yeah,
publicly.
Yeah, he stuck it to him in a big spot, but it makes sense. It connects with your point that he knows how to get a team to the next level from mediocrity or below.
They were playing hard last year. There's some fun things on the offense. I mean, Kevin White, Alshon Jeffrey, and Eddie Royal is a good top three. You're moving an all-pro guard back to guard in Kyle Long. So that, to me, that's a big addition, kind of like you're adding Kevin White.
That's great, but you're also stuck with two below-average tackles then.
That's fair.
But they're an interesting team to me this year, more interesting than they were last year.
Which of the two receivers that we wrote a lot about last year but did not see a lick of action, Rashad Perriman and White, has the better year?
I would say White.
Well, White's supposed to be a stud, right?
Yeah, White's in a better spot, too.
A lot of supposed to be's, but, I mean, Perriman probably had some knocks against him coming out of college anyways with the drops, but he's in a good situation in Baltimore, too.
Well, Kevin White, someone, if we were doing a 2015 redraft, would be interesting to see where he goes. At this point last year, there was a lot of I'd take him over Amari Cooper talk. It was just an injury, but he was kind of a player that came out of nowhere in the pre-draft.
Unfortunately, we're not doing the 2015.
No. You know? That's what's called
a
tease.
Yeah, it's a good tease because for next year's podcast around this time, we're going to dig into that.
Long distance tease.
Kevin White pop down the road. Moving on, Legion of Doom reunion. Brandon Browner has been one of the very worst.
Legion of Boom, I believe it's.
What did I say, Doom?
Yeah.
Thinking of the old WWF tag team. Ah, what a rush. Hawk and Animal. Does anyone?
I have heard.
I know that's what it's based on. Jim Laurinaitis' father?
Correct.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. That's why they call him the scientist. Brandon Browner has been a very bad defensive back the last couple of years, let's be honest. But there was a time earlier in his career where he was a big play machine with the Seattle Seahawks. He was a free agent after getting cut by the Saints, and he has landed back in Seattle on a one-year deal. Rap Sheet reported on Sunday. Browner wrote on Instagram, "I never wanted to make an excuse, so I played through a torn," he's referring to a torn MCL injury. "Last year was the most frustrating year for me. Those who know me knew I was affected by it." Mark, do you buy into that? Do you think he will be better back in that scheme with a healthy knee, or is he done?
I think he's fighting for a roster spot, in my opinion, when you really boil it down. But I guess any player where you go back to a team and coaches and a scheme that you know so well, I mean, he helped create the Legion of Boom. And that said, this is not 4 years ago. So I think he'll struggle to make the team.
He had the most penalties last year of any player in the last 15 seasons. It's a pass interference call waiting to happen every time he gets on the field.
This is a Patriots type of move. You have a guy who wins a ring or two. They go on. They don't end up doing well elsewhere. They come back 3 or 4 years from now. They usually don't do much the second time around. You're just hoping you get 300, 400 good snaps out of Browner, who's, by the way, he wasn't hurt the year with New England. He was okay that year. But the Patriots essentially cut him that year, too. He's been cut back to
that. Is that the Deion Branch corollary?
Yeah, Deion Branch. There's been a lot of Patriots that come back for just one final game.
He's got 38 penalties over the last 2 years, according to Pro Football Focus.
Hubba hubba.
I don't think any other cornerback has more than 20.
And let's stick in the Legion of Boom for our last or second to last news item. Earl Thomas. This is pretty ridiculous, guys. Earl Thomas, some images started popping up on Monday morning on Facebook. He got married over the weekend wearing in his wedding photos, he's wearing a full cape and a gigantic crown. Hashtag stay humble. gentlemen, this just got us thinking. What would be your memory of, like, the most ridiculous / worst wedding memory? Everybody's been to 100 weddings by this time of our life. Greg, I'll start with you. A ridiculous wedding memory.
It's a good question. I don't have one. A ridiculous one.
Well, it was your idea for this.
Well, I was just thinking we would talk about our weddings and whatnot, but in that sort of framework, I support, by the way, his king move.
Oh,
I mean, it's a wedding. God. Don't take it too seriously.
Shocking. You're saying, the guy who lives on a throne of ease.
I'm saying hashtag stay humble. He's just having fun wearing a silly outfit on a wedding. Let's
you're,
not take
you're
it
thinking
so
wearing that crown and the cape is him not taking himself too seriously?
I would
it's
hope
so. On the other side. He's taking himself so seriously. And then I was thinking
really?
To myself.
Really? I think he's probably having fun and just like kind of goofing around on a wedding day.
I think it's important. Did the bride know that he was going to appear in this outfit? Because you don't want to do is have wedding photos where the eyes automatically just go to the guy. The groom is a second lost factor on wedding
day. Fair point.
And then I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. I said, all right, well, this is ridiculous. He's wearing a cape and a crown. In the pictures with his groomsmen, Jamal Charles, one of them, by the way.
So were like 340 other people.
Cam Chancellor as well. Yeah, it was a big – I hate – that's a
15
pet peeve,
person,
by the way,
right,
when there's too
party.
Many people in the wedding party. It's not easy to cut it down to an essential group. If you're getting married, everybody listen up. You got to cut it down to an essential group because nobody likes when there's too many groomsmen and bridesmaids. But anyway, so, you know, just the – I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the bride, because it's all about the bride. That's what the wedding's about. It's her thing. Maybe she's wearing a crown or a tiara, and she's wearing some flowing robe, and she's the queen. Nope. She's wearing just a standard wedding dress. Beautiful wedding dress. Beautiful woman. But he was the one that was peacocking at his own wedding.
You're not wrong.
That's a bad sign.
I can give you one wedding. I have not. I would been lucked out. I've gone to a lot of weddings. They've all been pretty fun. I mean, please, open bar. What do you? Weddings are great, but at my own, I got married in Northern California in this little tiny historical chapel that isn't even used anymore, and it's from like Little House on the Prairie times.
Mm.
And what I discovered, and this was an unseasonably wicked hot day in San Francisco in like early May, that as I'm standing out there, and all these people that I know from my life and Simone's life too are watching me, that there is no air condition in this church. And I have to stand there for probably 20 minutes before this thing gets going.
You're a naturally hot guy.
I get hot and like I could feel that I was starting to sweat. And there's no air. There's no like wind. There's nothing. And I'm just – and on top of it, 800 people are just staring at you. And I was like, this is a disaster. And I mean, I just sweat like a crazy man through the entire ceremony. The photographer, who was relatively affordable – save the day. The photos come back. You can't tell anything. I don't know what technology he used, but it was a disaster. I needed to go change my shirt. One of my best friends, a larger guy, had a striped purple and white shirt in this chapel because other people were sweating like crazy too. Got up off this historical bench from like 1601, and there's just deep purple stripes in this piece of wood. So just we got out of there, and we moved on.
Wow. Well, that's
horrifying.
That is – you got to wear the undershirt underneath. On a hot day.
That's why you got to have a quick ceremony.
There
was, I don't know if there was a lot. Well, we went up to the aisle to a different type of song, but if nothing else, my wedding stuck out for brevity. 6 minutes front to back.
What?
Wow.
Entire ceremony.
I like that kind of party.
Were you at the town hall?
We were out to set some records. No, I mean, we had a great party afterwards, the reception and all that. That was 3 hours or whatever, but the ceremony was 5 minutes. Because we got no religion.
That's
we
good.
Got nothing to talk about.
That's good.
We didn't bother. Should we force in some reading of some BS poem that neither one had any relationship
with? Respect.
Forget it.
People's
Let's wait. Move on.
That's good. If you have nothing to believe in, it makes things less complicated. Good. Finally in the news, Bill Belichick turned 64 years old, Greg Rosenthal. And to mark the occasion, he had a message for all the fans that have reached out to him. And Linda Holiday, I believe her name is, his longtime GF, took video of him. And this is the video where the audio.
I just want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes today. When I'm 64, used to be a Beatles song, but now it's become reality for me. So I'm happy to be here. And thank you for all the.
Okay. So that's how it ends, by the way.
It just cuts off.
And this is why Belichick's is the best. Literally, he probably didn't want to do it. The girlfriend talked him into it, said, Bill, you should send a message out to all your fans. And they ran out of time on the video because it was probably like a fixed 15-second thing. And Bill said, he yelled at Linda, I'm sure. He said, I'm not doing it again. That's what you're putting up. That's why it was cut off. Is that? Is there any way that's wrong?
Yes.
Very accurate.
Many ways.
Why wouldn't you do it a second time?
One way is no one's even aware that it was cut off. They just, you know, they're older people.
I think they were at least.
Social media is not the, they're, you know, they're not experts
in
social media.
They were at least generally aware that the video was cut off.
Linda Holiday's pretty social media savvy.
I thought that was a good one.
I had to go back and actually make sure that I had the whole entire thing.
I thought maybe they cut it off and he keeps talking, but his next line was, you know, thank you to everyone, especially the effing NFL who took away our first round draft pick, and then they just decided that's too
I'm gonna
risque.
The floor is now yours, Greg, and you guys, you know, the generally aware callback deserved a little pop from the Kissing Cousins historians that you are. Thanks, guys. Generally aware?
Now I get it. It slipped by my radar.
Okay.
It was too well done by you.
I guess. We're going to give the floor to Greg, by the way. Now you say thank you to Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Bill, for being the greatest coach in NFL history, for bringing our region of New England and Patriots fans everywhere the greatest 15 or 16 years that you could possibly want as a fan. I'm good. You don't need to keep winning for me.
It's good song.
That's fair. I can't hate it. Listen, he broke my heart by walking out on the Jets in a classless way, but how can you hate on the guy? I mean, he's done it all. How magnanimous by the old Zeuser. All right.
That's not what magnanimous means.
That was your birthday gift to Bill Belichick.
Yes, that was certainly it. All right, let's move on. That's what's happening in the news. Yeah, it's time.
First ever self-called magnanimous magnanimy.
I don't know.
What a humble job by the old Zeuser.
It was Magno.
He literally walked out on the job with the Jets and a rambling 30-minute press conference, wrote on a cocktail napkin his resignation letter, and then went straight to New England and won 4 titles and went to the Super Bowl 6 or 7 times. I'm not bitter about it at all. All right. His segment is called Do-Over. Redrafting top of 2014 class. So we're going to go through, let's go back in time, first of all, 2014. What a time to be alive it was.
You didn't even have a son back then.
No. Sweet baby Jack Carson was not born yet. And, you know, Wes, you were, you didn't have a car at this time. Mark, you... give me something about your life in 2014, Mark.
I did not have Johnny Manziel.
You didn't have as many free Nike shirts, Tiger Woods collection.
Well done, Greg. You're right. Dan and I, we were at this draft together.
We were at this draft, yes. Famously is then the video of Mark celebrating Johnny Manziel, which lives in infamy now. But at the time was a real joyous occasion. I will never forget the walk back to the hotel. This was mere hours before we found out that Josh Gordon was suspended. So it was literally like an 8-hour window where the Browns look like the next big team in the AFC. All gone now. However, we're now going to redraft, and I don't think Johnny Manziel is going to go in the first round, and we're probably not going to get to where he went, which was 22 anyway. But let's do the top of the first round. We'll go around the horn, and that means, Mark, good news for you, buddy. Because just by where you're – don't say you're not a lucky guy, because where you're sitting means that you're the Houston Texans with the first overall pick in the 2014 draft. Of course, the Texans took Jadeveon Clowney. Hard to imagine they would make the same pick given a do-over considering his health woes. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, they definitely will not pick him again. There's no question about that. Why would we be doing this if we're going to go down that road? It's no problem for me. Bill O'Brien, from the start, they brought him there to find a quarterback, to groom him. And you have Osweiler, but you've gone 2 years into this thing without it. It's easy for me. With what I know today, I go Blake Bortles.
Wow.
Houston Texans quarterback.
Bortles, off the board.
You steal him, too, from the old Jags.
And, you know, people forget about this now, but
AFC South, totally different.
People forget now, but Blake Bortles, when he went number 3 to the Jags, there was some oohs and ahs in the crowd because that wasn't something that was expected.
That is the magic of David Caldwell.
No one saw that coming.
And now, in this reality, he is the number 1 overall pick. And you're very confident now a Texans team led by Blake Bortles, DeAndre Hopkins, and J.J. Watt, Marone, that's a pretty nice nucleus.
I think Greg nailed it. You pull him away from the Jacksonville Jaguars, too, or have to start over.
I think O'Brien would like a little Blake Bortles.
Hmm. All right, Wes, you are picking, as fittingly, the St. Louis Rams, not yet in L.A., so still a team that is – it's everything's in limbo. They play in a they play in the Edward James Olmos Dome where they leave cement in clear view so you can be injured. That came back to haunt people. But now we're going to focus on the number two pick by the Rams, and it is.
Well, we're sitting pretty here. Just want to tell you, Les and Jeff here, we're in the war room, and the top four players on our board are still there.
Mm. Wow, Bortles didn't make the top four. That's a shock.
Bortles was fifth on the Rams board in this meeting. We're going to go with our number one overall player. He got a 7.9 out of 8 on our draft grade, Odell Beckham.
Wow.
Goes number two.
Clear thinking. I mean, it's hard for me to get past the screaming headline from what you said, which was, Wes, Mark Sessler's draft board is a disaster.
Oh, I am comfortable very much
Mark
with taking
Mark didn't go
Blake
best
Bortles.
Player available. He went to draft a need.
So in this reality, does that mean that
I like it. The Rams finally has a wide receiver. Maybe they never have to sign Kenny Britt.
It's like Nick Foles and Case Keenum and players of that nature are throwing to poor Odell Beckham.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford.
At that time, they still believe in him in theory.
You got another year.
We've got another first-round pick coming up. We might address our quarterback there.
Interesting. Unless I get him first because I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm hyper pissed about what happened with the first overall pick with Mark reaching to take Blake Bortles. And, you know, it's one of those things.
You know what, you guys? This is ridiculous. I mean – The Texans needed a quarterback, and they've needed one for years.
Reach.
So we're upset about that.
There's some debate whether he's even the top quarterback on the board, Blake Bortles.
We were hoping Blake would still be there, but we have a good backup.
Easy line. For Greg to pick fourth and be a part of, you know, just sit back and he's take
gotta,
a player no one cares about.
He's got to run the Browns draft.
I will take a young quarterback now. I don't want to hang. You know, a lot of people got a little nervous. Oh, his brother failed. So I don't want to be caught up in another car accident. But we will take Derek Carr.
A lot of reaches earlier.
Yeah. Fresno State quarterback with the number three overall pick. We need a QB, Wes. We need a QB, and now we got him. Derek Carr to the Jaguars. Number four pick now.
I mean, it's not you've been the one saying if you don't have a quarterback, what's not too much to give up for a quarterback? You said six picks for a quarterback.
Couldn't agree more. If you need a quarterback, you go get one, especially with what we know today about Carr.
There are future Hall of Famers on this draft board.
Well, that I agree with that, and that's why I'm glad that you left Derek Carr on the board because
took him off the board.
I mean, I'm glad you took him off the board. Because in this alternate universe, the Cleveland Browns have not traded down with the Buffalo Bills. They've got the number four pick, and they're going to start making some smart moves, and that's going to start with Aaron Donald is on the board. He's a defensive MVP and Hall of Famer. You finally got a good pick, Mark.
Now we know we're in fantasy land.
What? This is working out really well for the Browns.
What are you talking about? I think Aaron Donald's coming off the second best season.
No, it's a great draft pick.
For a defensive player in the last 5 years. Oh, you mean because the Browns took him.
Right. That's a great pick.
I see. What value?
This kind of takes a little air out of the balloon, Mark, because at number five, is it the Oakland Raiders still?
It is.
All right, and I feel like you got to stay where you are, right?
You know what? He's sitting at the top of my board. I go Khalil Mack, and I have no problem doing it. I don't care what the other three people in this room say at all.
Great
I'm surprised
pick.
He lasted that long.
Great pick. And by the way,
you could have taken him number one overall over that.
Yeah, that'd be great. So the Houston Texans have a linebacker and no quarterback. You can keep drafting with your best player available, Greg.
And by the way, I just want to point out anybody that's listening, whether you're if you have your own podcast and you're fishing for ideas, or you're a writer, a draft writer, and you're thinking, geez, how come I never thought of doing a draft do-over type column?
So edgy.
Or a video segment. Well, it's just something that came to us. Like, what if you redrafted after the fact? That's why we are best of iTunes 2019.
Wow. Dan actively torpedoing the segment.
Wes, number five.
Doing what he hates most.
Number six,
the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, we know we have some offensive line issues, but we're going to try to address that elsewhere. We are a best player on the board type of team, and Roddy White's on the downside of his career. We're taking Sammy Watkins to pair him with Julio Jones.
Mm. Gotta like it. Well done, Wes. That's my commentary as to what you've just done. Nice job.
Thank you, Mark.
I believe that Sammy Watkins will do better in this fantasy than he has in reality up in Western New York. So I believe, Wes, that you made a good pick at number six, Sammy Watkins to the Atlanta Falcons. The number seven pick, tricky. Mike Evans was selected in real life by the Bucks, and I look at the what's available to me. I'm not, probably
seems like there's a big fall off here after the top five is. So
I'm trying to see who I would take instead of Mike Evans.
A couple good players there.
There are Pro Bowlers out here.
Let's see. Bear with me 1 second. I could take anyone in the first round.
Or just that's how this works.
Or keep
any
Mike Evans.
Take anyone. You can take someone that's undrafted. Well, not like Wes Welker, but you know,
take Bo Jackson.
Probably not going to take Dominique easily. Shots fired. All right, I will take what team am I again? Oh, the Bucks. Am I getting Jameis Winston next year?
You don't know that.
You don't know.
Not if this draft pick propels you to 14-2.
I would probably stick with Mike Evans, but just because
makes sense.
That's a logical.
Just because I want to.
That's a reasonable pick.
I want to have fun in this life before I die. I'm gonna maybe go outside the box and take Kelvin Benjamin.
Don't know what the purpose of that was.
Radio City Music Hall goes quiet.
Why are he taking the guy coming off a torn ACL over the guy who's shown a lot of promise?
Who cares?
Well, he's
Mike
not,
Evans,
this
by the
not,
way.
He's
was,
not had a torn ACL.
By the way, Mike Evans was a sneaky mess last year. I'm just going to throw that out there. Sneaky mess. Something to keep an eye on. Kelvin Benjamin, a breakout star as a rookie, tore his ACL. Just a lesson to everybody. Everyone tears their ACL now. Most come back. Don't worry about it. It's not a torn patellar situation.
Interesting.
He'll be back. Crowd's going nuts. Great job, old Zeuser. You got
interesting
it.
Interesting post-pick explanation from the GM of the Bucks.
The number eight pick in the draft originally was the Minnesota Vikings. That's where Mark Sessler steps in. Who you got?
You know, this may not excite people, but I am going to go Zach Martin.
Oh, I like that pick.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess it's a lineman, fine. And we're supposed to go all skill
position
players.
No, I like
it.
I'm just
here,
confused
I'm going,
why he skipped past me with the eight pick.
Yeah,
that's
Greg's pick.
That's a whole separate issue, Greg. You have a right to be
it was, no, you know what it was?
Mark traded up.
Remember when the Vikings, a few years back,
yeah,
they were late getting to the podium? So
that was Greg.
Him. Greg, asleep at the switch.
it seemed like the host here was asleep at the switch.
Is this almost over?
You
no,
have my Bills pick. How about that?
No.
Yeah, no, please. I'll take the Bills.
Yeah.
And just to mix it up and to point out how crazy it was for you to take Kelvin Benjamin out of nowhere over Mike Evans. I'm going to take another wide receiver that's not Mike Evans, but is a better pick, Allen Robinson.
Oh, nice.
Going number nine.
Great pick. Great.
I had him and Evans back-to-back on my board.
Oh, great choices.
Phantom GMs
Evans over
slapping
Robinson.
Each other on the back 2 years after draft occurred.
All right, Wes, you are the Detroit Lions at number 10. Eric Ebron went, and a lot of people liked that pick at the time, and now that's starting to look a little busty.
Oofa.
I like
people
Zach
use busty Martin. in that sense. Not really. Looking like a bust, but you're going to go somewhere else, aren't you, Wes?
I'm going best player on the board for the third straight pick and the third straight wide receiver, Mike Evans.
Wow.
Can't believe that Kelvin Benjamin and Allen Robinson were picked over him.
Don't love that
you
pick.
You said you had him back-to-back.
I had
you
Evans slightly ahead of Robinson, but I you can make an argument.
Don't
Benjamin,
love that
I don't think you can make an argument for.
Well, what this is saying
don't love it.
Is what a wide receiver group this is. Four of our top 10 players in
best
the
wide receiver game. Class of all
yeah,
time.
I don't think that's not exactly a screaming headline.
Yeah, four of the top 10, and that's not even including Cooks. And
well, we're also a group of people that's largely ignoring linemen and offensive linemen specifically.
With the number 11 pick, you know, I don't have Marcus Mariota yet. I can't know what's happening next. So I got to go with the quarterback, and I think the best thing, you got to be in a good place. So I'm going to take Johnny Manziel. No. Can't talk myself into it. Tried to.
There's another quarterback out
certainly
there.
Certainly not crazy to go quarterback.
Dan scanning his big board.
Teddy Bridgewater. Don't care. Number 11 pick to the Tennessee Titans. Teddy Bridgewater, nice, has shown some things. I'm not a big fan of him, to be quite honest with you. But not a lot of exciting guys.
Your pick exclamations are getting better.
Do I really want to, deep dive on Juwan James or something like that? No. So I'm going to go with the quarterback.
Area GM explains to fans that he's not a big fan of the quarterback.
I would have loved to hear your explanation of why Juwan James somehow moved up in this redraft seven spots. Yeah, you got to get James off the board eight spots. What a career.
I almost took Calvin Pryor there out of loyalty. but he'll stay down there. All right, one more. What you go, Greg, and then we'll go. No, can we end this? Can Greg be the last pick? Or do we need have to go around again?
We could go lightning round.
Okay.
One more round. You don't have to go around again if you don't want to.
Lightning round!
Why bother?
Let's do it.
I mean,
the Giants, the number 12 pick.
I'm going to take Anthony Barr. What a nice little versatile career he's off to.
That one hurt Wes.
That was best player on my board.
Real nice pick.
All right, so we've got the Rams next.
Rams at 13. Got Aaron
Donald. They already
picked
up Odell Beckham in this draft.
They did, but I'm going to do something unorthodox and beautiful. We're going to solve our quarterback problem with someone's probably 40th or 50th best player on the board, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, are we still doing this? Are we still talking ourselves into Garoppolo
actually,
as an all
true. They you know what? I do say take quarterback every year. Let's see.
Like three good
looking guy.
Like three good preseason passes, and now
Odell and Jimmy G. St. Louis not even moving to Los Angeles
right.
at this point.
They could save the. They could save football in St. Louis.
I can't believe he moved up in the draft. Okay. The Bears, Wes, at 14.
We're going to go best player on the board, Ryan Shazier.
Okay. Nice pick.
Everybody speed round.
Yeah, that speed round. I mean, it's got the feel and the vibe of just absolute.
Oh, that's really going to burn the Steelers. They wanted Shazier.
All right. I will take Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Dallas Cowboys always could use help on defense, and he's shown some really good playmaking.
Isn't this the Steelers picking?
I don't know. Yeah, no.
Well, they need a safety with Troy Polamalu coming to
the
game.
There you go. Oh, yeah, Troy's out of the game. Clinton Dix is my pick. And finally, Greg, wrapping it up, the number 16 pick, the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of people thought maybe Johnny Manziel would go this pick, and he came very close, apparently, as lore has it. But you will select with the 16th pick.
Well, there's a lot of good players on the board. Jason Verrett, you know, Clowney's maybe worth a look here. Mm. Devontae Freeman. But I just feel like Martavis Bryant is born to be a Dallas Cowboy.
Oh,
feels
like
a guy with all sorts of talent, and maybe he's going to have some trouble, you know, passing tests in the future. That sounds like a Cowboy, too.
I like it.
How about Jeremy Hill gets passed up? Johnny Brown? C.J. Mosley?
How about you, Joel Batonio, your buddy?
Jake Matthews?
And that's it. So that is the redraft of the 2014 first round, picks 1 through 16. Good work, guys. Good teams.
Thank you, Dan.
Wait, why are you pretending like you liked the segment afterwards? You're actively trying to take it down.
I was trying to be professional.
That was actually pretty funny, guys.
It made it funnier.
I was biting my tongue and trying to plow through it.
But you didn't. You mentioned many times throughout the thing how much you hated it and you couldn't wait till it was over. Wouldn't that be the opposite of professional?
No, if that was happening, that was all in my mind. It was like in my subconscious. And if it crept out at certain points, that was all accidental.
I mean, you stated before the show that you felt very good about the upcoming episode.
True.
At this point, I don't get the feeling that you're going to walk out of the room with that comment.
It is lying season.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, guys. I said that I had a special surprise for the audience. And usually you kind of can tell which way it's going when that happens, because our one of our favorite people in the world, our New Jersey correspondent from a haunted mansion, now a married man. He is the great Connor Orr on the line. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
Mazel tov, Connor.
Congrats,
hey,
man.
Thanks a lot. I did it, right?
Has your PS3 been thrown out yet?
Not yet, but I've been told that since it's old and I left it outside in like kind of cold weather, it makes a lot of noise. Like it sounds like it's overheating constantly. So that's something we're going to have to address head on at some point.
Yeah.
Yet from the sound of it, it seems like you're only venturing into new, crazier, uncharted territory with your PS3 and your Madden.
I've been experimenting a little bit. I've been in the Madden laboratory, and all I can say is just wait for next year. It's there's some really special things going on.
I feel like it should be called the Madditory.
Madditory. All right. So congratulations, Connor. And by the way, let me just give you a little wedding advice or marriage advice. Life doesn't change that much when you're married. It really changes when you get the kid involved. And that's when Madden's in real peril. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, as long as no one takes away my PlayStation, I think I'll be
okay. I agree. It's overrated, like, that life changes when you're
married. It's surprised how little it changes.
It changes when you get engaged, because that's a mental, crazy hurdle, and then you're basically married. So that's the big change. Is to
back in the old days, like, you would meet your bride or groom on your wedding day. That would change things. Now we lived together for 5 years. Now we're still living in the same place. Of course,
you meet them on wedding day?
A lot of in an arranged marriage, they say, Greg, yeah, here's your woman behind the veil. You lift it up. Good luck to you.
Well, but there's also, in a less extreme measure, but also there was more risk to it. You used to not live together before.
Of course.
You got married, and that's like the last big hurdle. Can you live together? Trust me, son.
No, I said you're right.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Now it's like, let's figure that out first. And if it all works out and it's perfect, then we'll get married.
All right. So, Connor, we're going to talk about your Madden franchise a little bit down the line, and we're going to talk about your marriage and your family that's sure to follow behind as it comes, because we know that's part of this whole equation usually. But right now, we haven't done it in a while, but you said you had something. This is the deal with Connor. He's a guy, he's an intense guy. He's not, you know, a wild, shouty guy, but there's an intensity that builds within him. He's got a mortgage. He's got this job where he's cranking out so much content for NFL.com. He's got a fiance, now wife, in his ear about different things. He's got yard work. and if he doesn't get things off his chest, he might just blow, which is why we created this segment called Are You Kidding Me? All right, Connor, what's bothering you right now? What's grinding your gears?
Dan, we got to talk about these athletes, and really it's like one or two repeat offenders posting on Twitter at all odd intervals of the day how hard you're working out. Like, we get it, but let's just tone it down a little bit. You know?
Quit rubbing it in. We know you're a pro. Let it go. Do you have any players as an example? What a rip.
So I actually pulled something up. I did a little bit of research. This is from 10:44 at night on April 13th, 2016. Someone on Twitter named Matt says, everyone's watching Kobe's last game while J.J. Watt is out getting better than all of us. And he just has this picture of himself bragging like 900 pounds on a sled in an empty gym.
Ow! And can I just tell you, let me tell you something, Connor, and you might not have seen this in your research, but this morning, J.J. Watt did it again. There's flooding in the Houston area, and a lot of people are struggling to get to the facility for off-season workouts. J.J. Watt posts a Snapchat of the image of the front door of the Texans headquarters, letting everyone know that while everyone else struggled, I got here.
I swam here with my weights on my shoulders. Ah, you know.
J.J. Watt just responded to Connor and Dan in real time.
What did he
just
say?
Tweeted, stop making stories out of non-stories. A bunch of guys made it to work today, not just me.
Well, then don't send the Snapchat out, bro. Right, Connor?
Well, you know, it's not only that. Like, I once started a story about J.J. Watt, and it said, from high atop his perch on Hustle Mountain. And that's just kind of how I feel. Like, he's the best at working hard and being tough, but he's also the best at letting us know how hard he works and how tough he is subtly.
We see through all your garbage, Justin James.
It's a long tradition of athletes doing this on Twitter. Rise and grind. I mean, that's now become kind of a cliche. Back in 2009, 2010, that's every athlete on earth today, except for Santonio Holmes, who just said wake and bake.
Rise and grind, though, is when, like, the common man works out before work, but now it's like, look at me. It's like 11:45, and I'm doing arm curls in my basement just to get better for you. And, like, you know. Well, what's the point of that? You know, we get it. You're strong. You must be doing this all the time. That's what you're paid to do.
Any other thoughts?
You know, just stop. And you know, I don't want to say it's just J.J. Watt, because I feel like it's just picking on him, and he could beat the crap out of me. But you know, I would say, like, unless you're doing something, like, really exceptional that you shouldn't be able to do, like, outside of your human capacity, to just, you know, just call your dad and tell him you're doing it.
Who are you trying to make proud of you anyway? And finally, Connor, finally, you have anything else to say?
Or are you kidding me?
There he goes. Connor Orr, see you later, buddy.
Really agree with what he had to say.
I mean, it's that we need to let him get things off his chest. That is so vital because as we get pulled away to different things, whether it's NFL Now hits or the podcast studio or various endeavors within NFL media here in Culver City, Kevin Patra and Connor Orr are such vital people to the news operation, so we can't let him blow his stack over.
No, we got to keep him calm, and it's what he said gives you a lot of food for thought. I'm canceling my pre-planned Snapchat from 3 a.m. this morning where I was going to show off I was watching Jeremy Langford tape in the middle of the night. Take that off.
There you go. Very smart move, Greg. All right, that's it for Monday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. B-Mac, thanks for pinch hitting for the Irishman.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's always good to have you. We the Irishman will be back later in the week, and so will we. I think we'll be back on Thursday with one more show this week. And then next week's draft week, of course, big week. We'll have three shows. We'll have a show immediately following the first round on Thursday night. Another show, special. We only do two weekend shows a year. We do Super Bowl Sunday wrap-up, and we do, well, every Sunday during the regular season.
Okay, but outside of those,
so
many weeks.
But outside
like
those.
Almost less than 20.
Let me rephrase this. We only do one Saturday night show per season.
Yeah.
And it is the draft recap. Once we finish rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday, we break it down again. So three shows next week, one more show this week, and, of course, also next week, prop bets, propositions on the draft. So a lot coming up around the NFL podcast. That's it for now. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and B-Mac behind the glass. Till Thursday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.